Today's daf of Tessa Medalis continues with the Agadita, fascinating Agadita, based on the Mishnah Chesam Ebeis. On Chesam Ebeis, on the bottom of the Gemara, we had two different Makoros that seemed to bring out the very basic idea that was expressed on the Mishnah, and that is B'mida Shadam Modeid Ba Modeid In Lo. How a person acts, and how a person measures out their behavior, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu measures out his relationship with them. And the Gemara quoted two psukim. Number one, the first pasuk was a pasuk in Yishayo b'sasa b'shalch t'rivena haga bruch ha'kasha b'yom kadim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will measure out as the sa, he will send at to combat those who have done averos. And then the Gemara also quotes the pasuk, achas achas limtso lecheshbon. And that is that everything a person does adds up, the pasuk in Kohelet says in Zion, and says that it will all add up and be paid back in the right time. We are left off on Tessa Med Aleph, approximately 12, 13 lines in, by the parentheses, Ume Acher, first words on lines of a Gomer in a parentheses, and then on Tessa Med Aleph Mesecha Sota, Ume Acher. Asks the Gemara, Ume Acher Denafkale Me'achas La'achas Limso Cheshbon Ki Kol Son Birash Lomali. Why is it that we have another pasuk that spells out the same idea of Me'achas La'achas? There's another pasuk that also says this idea that everything adds up, and that is a pasuk as well in Yeshaya as Kikol Sa'on Sa'on. So why do we need that pasuk if we already have the idea that every pruta adds up, so then every sa' also is going to add up as well? Says the Gemara, Likimida, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes everybody for every pruta that they take inappropriately, or every pruta of their actions, that we learn from the pasuk of Me'achas La'achas Limtso B'cheshbon. However, the idea that every mida, even the style in which they do it, that we don't see from the pasuk of Me'achas La'achas Limtso B'cheshbon, and rather we learn that out from Ki Kol Son Son. Asks the Gemara, Me'achad Enafkle Michi Kol Son Son Birash, so then why do we need that original pasuk that we had quoted? B'sasa B'shalcha Terivena Lamali. What do we need that pasuk for? Answers the Gemara, L'chad Rav Chinna Bar Papa, Damar Rav Chinna Bar Papa, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nifra Min Uma Ad Shas Shilucha. The idea of B'sasa B'shalcha Tarivenu, first of all, the literal meaning of the pasuk is, B'sasa is the measurement of a saw, B'shalcha Tarivenu literally means the shalcha, farmland, Tarivenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will attack it, contend with it. However, Chazal Darshan, the pasuk b'sasai b'shalcha t'rivena, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will attack the farmland of the enemies of Hashem, Chazal Darshan in the following way. The Amar of Chinina Bar Papa, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu nifra min ha'uma ad shas shilucha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only pays back those who enemies who required their punishment until they're entirely sent from the world. In other words, you don't see the immediate payback until Shilcha, until the time of Shilucha that they're supposed to be sent away. Asks the Gemara, Eini, Va'amar Rava Shlosha Kaisis Hamuris B'Mitzrayim. Rava taught that in the dream of the Sar HaMashkim in Parshas VaYigash, where he dreams of serving Paro cups of wine, there are three cups. What do they represent? Achash Sheshosas Mimay Moshe. One of them is the cup that they drank during the time of Moshe. Here the cup refers to punishment. They were forced to drink the punishment of the ten makos. Va'achash shoshas b'mei paranecho. And the other that the Egyptians had to drink when they were beaten by the Babylonians, when their king was paranecho. Va'achash shasid lishtos im chavrusel. And ultimately, in the future, when God will punish the all of the nations of the world who are deserving of punishment. So what do we see from here? We see from here that there's punishment even that's prior to Shilucha. Yet we see that the Pasuk had been expounded upon by Rav Chinna Bar Papa to tell us that punishment only exists at the time of Shilucha. And yet, the dream of the Sarah Mashkin talks about retribution even before the end. So we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not reserve retribution until the end. So ask the Gemara, what is going on with the drasha b'asa b'shacha terivena? Answers the Gemara, v'chitem. If you want, I'll give you the following teretz. Hanachazdu v'hani achrininu, which is actually an idea that I think some historians suggest, and that is that the ancient Egyptians are not the modern Egyptians. If that would be so, if hanachazdu v'hani achrininu, so then the retribution that was given in the time of the Dor Mitzrayim was before the moment of Ishcha, they then disappeared. Possibly then the Gemara is suggesting that the same happened to the tribe that was attributed to Mitzrayim time, Parnecho, and then the following retribution as well. If that's what you're going to say, says the Gemara, that's not correct. For Tanya, didn't we learn a Braisa? Amar Rav Yehuda, Minim in Ger HaMitzri Haya. Bichaver. Says Rabbi Yehuda, Miniman was a Ger Mitzri who was my friend. Mitalmide Rabbi Akiva. He was from the students of Rabbi Akiva. Amar Miniman, Ger Mitzri Ani. He said that I am a Ger who's an Egyptian. Mitzri Rishon. I am a Mitzri Rishon. Vinasasi Mitzri Rishona. Mitzri Rishon means that he's a first generation convert. Why is a generation important? Because the pasuk says in Dvarim Chav Gimel, "Banim Asher Yivoldu Lahem Dor Shlishi Yavo Lahem Bekal Hashem." That a Dor Shlishi, a third generation Mitzri, is allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. So Miniman suggested the following: I am a first generation. I am marrying a first generation Egyptian. Asi libnei Mitzris Shnia. To libnei Mitzris Shnia. I will marry off my son to a second generation Mitzris, kidei shei ben bini muter lava b'kol, in order that my grandchildren will be able to marry into Klal Yisrael. Fascinating halacha. What emerges from what Miniman, and fascinating event, what Miniman is saying teaches us that when it comes to Mitzriim, to the Miniman's day, they were still considered the original Mitzrayim. If they weren't be considered the original Mitzrayim, then the Isser of Dor Shlishi by Mitzri would not apply. Hence, we cannot give the teretz of Hanachazdu v'Hani Achrini that these Mitzrayim are different, and therefore we don't know why the Pasuk says that retribution only takes place at the end of the history of the nation, because when it comes to Mitzrayim, the nation continues, and there were different times that they were punished. Eli Yitmar Hachi Yitmar. Rather, the Gemara says, this statement of Rav Chinina needs to be explained in the following way. Amar Rav Chinina Bar Papa, Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu Nifram Min HaMelech Achin Shas Shilucha. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't give retribution for a king until the end of his reign. Shenema B'Sasa B'Shilcha Tarivena. As the pasuk that we had said before, Ameimar Masni Lahadur of Chinam Bar Papa Aha Mandomer. Excuse me, Aha Madichsiv. Ki Ani Hashem, a beautiful pasuk in Malachi. Ki Ani Hashem Loishonisi V'Atem Bnei Yaakov Loichalisim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I am God who never changes. The Shem Hashem stands for, and you, Bnei Yaakov, I will never. Nisi va'atem Bnei Yaakov lo kiyisem means the following: Ani Hashem lo shenisi lo ikos ikyesi leuma v'shenisi lo. I never needed to hit a nation twice. Here, we understand the word lo shenisi, not the literal translation as we had said before. The simple reading of the translation of the pasuk in Malachi: I am Hashem. That doesn't change, but rather I am Hashem that does not need to repeat. Loi keis luma v'shnislav. Atem b'nei Yaakov lo kilisim. But b'nei Yaakov, I never destroyed them, but rather I never destroy Am Yisrael by hitting them in a way they cannot get back. If chas v'chalila, we require punishment, even deep punishment, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu never destroys us entirely. Lo hi keisi luma v'shnislav, but the exception is b'nei Yaakov lo kilisim. This is what the pasuk in Devarim Lamed Beis, in regards to the klalos, says, "Chitzai achalabam." With my arrows, I will destroy them. So it sounds like it's a curse. Chazal darshan chitzai kilyon vehein ena kolam. It doesn't say that Klal Yisrael will be destroyed, but rather there is a curse of their arrows, but ultimately the arrows will end Los Alavo, but Klal Yisrael will never be destroyed. I heard from survivors of the Holocaust, or in the name of survivors of the Holocaust, that the expression that was common, that the Jews would say, that our grandparents would say when they would go back to the barracks, was Mevelen Zei Oisleben, we will outlive them. And despite the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had destroyed so much of us, but we, the collective we, will survive. Not necessarily did that particular Jew believe that he was going to survive, but there was no doubt that Klal Yisrael, Netzach Yisrael, Yishaker, Klal Yisrael would continue, despite all of what the tragedies that our people have befallen, and we see that our nation defies all the rules. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has determined, Ani Hashem lo shinisi lo ikesi l'uma. Amar Rav Amnuna, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu nifra min ha'adam ad shetismale sa'aso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not punish a person until his measurement of a saw is complete. In other words, until he is entirely deserving of the onesh. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "Bimalos fakoy yetsa loy kol yad amaltum." The pasuk in Yov says, "When it is filled up, so then in such a case, when the rasha has entirely filled up his averos, it could very well be that when the rasha is entirely filled up, all of his taiva, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish him. The onesh doesn't necessarily come right away, as we had seen in the earlier teaching of Rav Chinuna Bar Papa." The Gemara continues, "Darish Rabbi Chinuna Bar Papa." Rav Chinuna Bar Papa, who we already quoted earlier, had another drasha. "May dichsiv ranu tzadikim b'ashem la yisharim nova sehila." Now is when we really segue into Agadita, when the Gemara begins to quote other drashos of an Amora that had said something that was related to our topic. Now we will go a little bit off the topic to some beautiful, beautiful drashos, which we will see have profound implications. What is the meaning of the pasuk, "Let the tzaddikim sing"? The tzaddikim sing to Yesharim Nava Sehila. To people who are straight, the song is beautiful. Chazal Darshan, Rav Chinuna Bar Papa Darshan, "Al Tikri Nove Sehila, Ela Neve Sehila." It's not only that Tehila is beautiful for them, Nave, but rather Neve, an abode. There is an abode for Tehila. Who is that referred to? Zem Meshav David, Shaloi Sholtu Sanem B'Masehim. That whatever they did, their enemies did not destroy their work. David, Dichsiv Tavu Ba'aret Shi'areha. The pasuk in Eicha, which is actually a sad pasuk, "Tavu ba'aret shareha ibeid v'shiber esparacheha," that the walls of Eretz Yisrael were sunken into the ground, actually has a component of it which is very beautiful. And that is that, as Rashi explains in Divrei HaMashal David, that Kadosh Baruch Hu did not destroy the walls that David had created. How do we know that we're talking about David's walls? Because the pasuk prior to this says, "Chishev Hashem lahashkes chomas bas tzion." HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought to destroy. And Sion is a reference to Ir David, Rashi explains. And therefore, when the enemies came, when it came to the wall of David, we're going to see that this will be halacha lemaisa, what exactly qualifies as the wall of David. The walls of David were not destroyed. Rather, they sunk into the ground. In Yirtzeh Hashem, on the halacha component of the shir, we will discuss how this might, if this wall was the wall of the Kosel HaMaravi, and how it relates to what a person is supposed to say when they see the Kosel HaMaravi for the first time in a while, as well as how one is supposed to appropriately mourn the Makom HaMikdash. But right now, this is a positive Gemara. And this Gemara is saying that the Tzaddik David's work was not destroyed. Meisha da'amamar, mishanivne migdash rishon ningnez al-moed krushav krushav richa va'amuda va'adonov. That all of Moshe's work was nignaz. It was put into the ground. It wasn't destroyed. Asks the Gemara, heicha, but where are they? Where are these kalim? Amar Chizda Amar Vimi Tachas Chilo Shel Heichal. It is under the caverns of the Heichal, and that's where the Oel of Moshe Rabbeinu still remains. They were never destroyed. Continues the Gemara, three lines on the bottom. Now we go back to Sota. Tani Rabbanon. Sota Nasenea B'mishena Roila. A Sota looked at something that she wasn't supposed to. When she looked, she desired something she wasn't supposed to. Masha biksha lo niten lo. What an amazing mussar. If a person looks at something and desires something they're not supposed to have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give them that. Umasha biyodan atol mamano. Not only that, whatever the person has is taken away from them. Shekol ha-neisen eina b'masha eina shaloi. Masha b'vakesh e'neisen loi. If he looks at something that's not appropriate for him and desires it when clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want him to have it, so then what the person desires once they don't get, and they lose that which they had. That's what happened with the first snake. He put his eyes, he desired something that wasn't appropriate for him. To be with Chava. What he wanted, the Nachash HaKadmoni, the first snake, he didn't get. And that which was in his hand was taken away from him. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Amarti Melech HaKol Behema V'Chaya. According to rabbinic tradition, the snake was supposed to be the king or the ruler over all living animals. He spoke, he walked. Va'achshav, Oruhu mikol ha-behema. Now he's going to end up being cursed. Mikol chayas ha-sodeh. Ani amarti, heilich mekoymas gufa. I said that he was supposed to walk upright. Achshav al-gechoyno yeilach. And now he has to go on his stomach. Ani amarti, heimacholei meichalodom. I said that he would have to eat, that he would be able to eat food, human food. He plotted and said he's going to kill Adam. And he would marry Chava. And in the end, it's the exact opposite. Hatred between the woman and her descendants. There is this tremendous enmity between humans and snakes. Says the Gemara, and it just doesn't happen once, it didn't happen twice, it happens many times. V'chematzinu b'kayin, v'koyrach, u'bilom, v'doeg, v'achitofel, v'gechazi, v'avsholoim, v'adoiniyohu, v'uziyohu, v'homon. Shenosnu e'neyem b'mashen eroi lahem. They put their eyes where they weren't supposed to be. Mashabikshu lo nitin lahem, what they wanted they didn't get. Umashabiyadam natsluhu mehem, and what had in their hands was taken away from them. Let's see Rashi's examples. Rashi spell out the examples of the Gemara. Koirach ala kuhuna, he desired the kuhuna v'nivla, and he was swallowed up in the ground. Bilam the mono shel Balak lekalis Yisrael. He aspired the money of Balak to curse Yisrael. V'nerek b'midyan shahalach litol schar esem arba elef shenafim Yisrael ba'atzoso. And in the end, he was killed in a war with the Midianim. The next two examples, Dayeg and Achi Teufel, are both individuals who were very capable, powerful, even according to many Maamar Chazal, on high spiritual levels, and yet at the same time, they desired more than they should have, and for that reason they fell. Rashi Dibar Maskel Doeg continues, who is Doeg? It's found in the middle of Shmuel. Both of them conspired for the Melucha of David. Rashi says, Abir Haroim Megadol Shabbatalmidim Hayu, he was the greatest of the students, Finiskane B'David, but he was jealous in David. Shera'ohu Navon Dover V'ish Torah Umar Eponim B'Halacha. He was good-looking, and also the Halacha followed him. Kirsiv Hinei Rasi Ben Yishai Be'Salachni V'Am B'Agod, the Gemara in Perek in Sanhedrin says, Kol HaPasuk Azeh Doeg Amru B'Lashon Hara, that Doeg spoke negatively about David. Ultimately, there he conspired against David, and ultimately he fell. The case in which he conspired was that he told Shaul where David was hiding out from him in Shmuel Alf Tezayin. V'Achitofel, Nasanena b'melucha. Achitofel also desired the lucha. Kina amar b'chelek ra eish yotze machmaso u'kesav shasa limloch. He thought that there were signs that he was going to ultimately be the king. The Gemara says that Achitofel was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, tremendous Baleitza, fascinating story in Sukkah Nun Gimel on the base, that David relied on many things vis-a-vis Achitofel. However, ultimately he rebelled against him because of jealousy, as our Gemara says, "Ubiyatmash biyadu natli menu lo yachetsu yemehem." Ultimately, Achitofel was killed. Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, accepted money for the healing of Naaman. Says Rashi, Gehazi mono shel Naaman v'nitzdareya. He desired his money. Ultimately, he had saras and he died a leper alone. Adonio desired Avishag ben Shunamis, one of David's wives, and ultimately was commanded to be killed. He was commanded to be killed by Shlomo HaMelech v'Nerag. V'Uziah was a Melech Yehuda that aspired for the Kuhuna, V'atzarah Zarchal Mitzcho, and ultimately he had Tzaras. It's interesting that Rashi does not spell out Haman, that Haman here says fired more than he looked for. Presumably, what the Gemara is referring to is that Haman said, when Mordechai didn't bow down, V'chol zeh inenu shaveh li, all of what I have is worth absolutely nothing to me. Haman needed more than he actually had. It could very well be that Haman's chisaron is a tremendous chisaron in terms as the people above, but particularly in regards to the Melchama versus Amalek. One of my Talmidim, Rabbi Yoshua Star, suggested that Amalek is Safek. That Safek, the Gemara tells us, Amalek represents those who try to cool us down, knock us off of our feet. We become unsure of ourselves. The Bale Gaiva, the people who are always needing more and are not happy with what they have, are people who at their core are insecure. That is embodied by all of the people mentioned in this Gemara, as well as Haman, who is Mizera Amalek, and that our Avoda is to say that all I need is what I have. The difference between Amalek's forefather, Esav, is that Esav, in his encounter with Yaakov, says, Yeshli Rav, I have a lot, but he's not satisfied. He always wants more. As opposed to Yaakov, he says, Yeshli Kol, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me, that is going to be enough. Whatever I have, that is what I need. Because of a deep insecurity, Rabbi Yeshua wanted to suggest, Haman, who says, Kol Zei Nena Shavali, he really has everything in the world, but he has nothing, and that leads to his own downfall. Hence, it could very well be that the source, at least vis-a-vis Haman, for this downfall of wanting what belongs to others, and ultimately, as our Gemara describes, comes from a sense, a real sense of self, a sense of being. And Haman, who's lacking, who has sveikos in himself, and you see Haman's insecurity throughout, bragging about when he's invited to the party with Esther, the ultimately thinking who the king must want to honor me, the devastation of not being honored by the king, all of those things, those issues of gaiva that we spoke about in Atayim Abayz, as well as the desire to have that which belongs to others, ultimately lead to Haman's downfall. What an important lesson in terms of our own happiness and our own sense of shlemus, our own sense of being. If you'd like to hear more on this topic, that was a 10-minute mussar that I spoke about in terms of happiness and is in so many ways a key in our sense of being and our avodas Hashem and our relationship with others. The Holy Gemara continues 10 lines from the top on Tesam Ebeis. B'yerech ischila ba'aveira. The Mishnah told us that the woman had sinned first with her thigh, and then ultimately she's punished in the same manner. Minoani Mili asks the Gemara, no, that the thigh is punished first. Ilei mamishum dichsiv. If we're going to say that it's based on the pasuk that by the parasha of Sota, it says that when Hashem causes the thigh to fall, and the stomach to explode, but isn't there a pasuk that says the exact opposite order? In many ways, the Gemara is asking that the order of the onish seems to be contradictory in the pasukim. Amar Abaye, so Abaye answers, ki layit. When the Kohen curses, literally curses, in other words, when the Kohen warns her, and that's what takes place in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vishbiya Kohen Esa Isha B'Shua Esa Olav Amar HaKohen L'Isha Yitein Hashem Oysach La'olav L'Shua B'Seich HaMech B'Seich Hashem Esirech Nofel Ses B'Nech Tzava. When he curses her and describes what will happen as a result of that curse, T'chila Yerech V'Adar Betim. First the thigh, then the stomach. And light. Umaya kibatku, but ultimately when the water does its check, when the water is drunk to check whether the isha what is chayiv and onish, kiur chayu badki. It goes in the normal process, first into the digestive system, beten beresha v'hadar b'yerech, and then v'hadar yerech, and then afterwards by the erech, the thigh. Ask the Gemara, but there's a time in the curse, b'klola nami, there's another pasuk that in when the Kohen is giving her the warning or the curse, there it has the stomach first and then the thigh. Answers the Gemara, the Kohen repeats it another time, mentioning the stomach first, because he needs to be honest about what is the process in which physically it's going to happen, and that is that the stomach first, and then the thought. Ultimately, then, the Mishnah is recording the order as described in the curses as opposed to the biological phenomenon which has the stomach first and then the thigh. Rashi tries to address this. In Dibur HaMaskel Kilayit, Rashi explains, Uklala hi tchilas haparanos. The beginning of the punishment, it seems the power of the punishment actually begins when the Kohen describes it to the woman. It could very well be that one could explain what Rashi is saying based on the idea that Rashi HaKadosh himself says in Parsha, in Sefer Bereishis, the Medrash Rabbah, on the pasuk Ani Yosef Ha'od Avichai, O Lanu L'Yom Adin, O Lanu L'Yom HaTochacha, woe is to us at the time of judgment, woe is to us at the time of rebuke, the time of punishment. Mefarshim asks, what is worse, the time of judgment or the time of punishment? Bali Musar explained that it could very well be that it's the moment in which a person realizes their tremendous hypocrisy that they have led in their lives, and when it's played back to them, what actually they said, what actually they did, sometimes comparing what they had said to what they had actually done, that is the greatest punishment that a person could receive. Hence, O lanu liyom hadin. In this case of Yosef and his brothers, the brothers say, of course give us back Binyamin. How can we go to her father? Says Yosef, Ani Yosef od Avichai. I am Yosef, is my father still alive? Were you worried about my father when it came to me? In other words, the greatest punishment is when a person sees, chas v'chalila, the hypocrisies and the shortcomings of his own life. After May of Esther, a person goes up and HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows the Musar that they said to themselves and they said to others, and then he shows them their actions, the inconsistencies of the two. Could be that that's the pshat over here. When the Kohen says the Yerech and the Bet and it hits her right between the eyes, these are the exact things that I had done to do the Avera, which she surely regrets now, and in many ways, the Klala is the hardest part of the Pranius. Is when the Kohen describes the Onish as and links it up, as the Gemara says, B'mida, that's how a person is going to be punished, so then in such a case, that is a very, very strong Pranius. So that is all behind, possibly, what Rashi is saying over here, which says, Kilayit, Rashi is coming to explain that ultimately the Mishnah follows the Klala and not the actual punishment itself. The Mishnah now continues with the concept of the Midah Shadam Modedin Lo, with other examples in Tanakh. About 15 lines from the top, the Mishnah, Shimshon Halach Achareinu, L'fichach Nakru Plishtim Ezeinav. Shimshon followed his eyes, and therefore his eyes were gouged out by the Plishtim. What exactly was Shimshon's aver with his eyes? So that Rashi says to look in the Gemara, which we will get to Beis Hashem. Shnemar ve'erzu ha'plishtim ve'inakru Ezeinav. Avshalom nizgah b'se'ero, Avshalom had gaiva because of his hair, and in the end, l'fichach isla b'sa'aro. Ultimately, he was hung by his hair. Awful death, Avshalom, his hair gets caught in the tree, and then he is shot through many, many times, which is a subject to the next part of the Mishnah. U'l'fisha ba'al eser pilag she'aviv, and because he had relations of with 10 of his father's concubines, l'fichach nasnu bo eselun bani lunbios, he was pierced by 10 arrows, shenemar, as the pasuk there described in Shmuel, vayasoibu asar na'arim noisei kelev yov hayakos avshalom v'yemisu. So he was pierced these 10 times. U'l'fisha ganav gimel gnevos, and because he did the ultimate stealing, notice how these three stealings, and that he lied and fooled Lev Aviv, Lev Bezim, Lev Yisrael, Lefichach Nisku by Gimel Shvatim, and for that reason he was stabbed with three rods. V'chein le'inyan hatova, and the same also applies to good, not only in the case of punishment, but also in terms of reward. Miriam himtina l'meisha sha'achas. Miriam looked out for her little brother, Moshe Rabbeinu, the beautiful moving scene. For the brother that needs to be hidden, who's hidden on the water. And she waits to make sure that her brother is going to be okay. Yisrael didn't move for 7 days when she passed away. They didn't move when she had Saras, and they waited for her for 7 days. Saras is Kemes, but this is Saras, not the Nifter. Yosef Zachalik Baris Aviv, V'ein Bachav Gadol Mimenu. Yosef was Zachat to bury his father, and there was no one greater than him. Shem Avayal Yosef Likbaris Aviv, V'yal Imo Gam Recha Gam Paroshim, Milanu Gadol Miyosef. So Zachat Boel Moshe, so Yosef, who was the most honored of all the brothers, nevertheless, he took it upon himself to bury his father. So Yosef HaTzadik was rewarded that Moshe Rabbeinu was Osek in him. Moshe Zocha Batzamos Yosef. Moshe was also Zocha in that Batzamos Yosef. In other words, he went out of his way, as the Gemara describes in other places, when all of Klal Yisrael was running around to get themselves together to go out of Mitzrayim. Moshe was Osek Batzamos Yosef. Vein Yisrael Gadol Mimenu. And there's no one greater in Christ. So Shnei Ravikach Moshe Satsmas Yosef Imo Mi Gadol V'Moshe Shlo Satsik Bo Ela Hamakom. So ultimately, the reward all comes down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. a chadgadi here of sorts, that ultimately the one who takes care of Moshe Rabbeinu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmo, Shema V'yikbar Oso Begai, as the Gemara, then that refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. As the Mishnah, Lo HaMoshe B'vado Amru, Elo Kol HaTzadikim She'enem Avaloch Lefanecho Tzikecho Kvod Hashem Yasecho, the honor of Hashem will gather in every tzaddik. Begins, Tanu Rabbanan, Shimshon Be'in of Morat. Shimshon rebelled with his eyes. Shenemar, as we had said in the Mishnah, but what is the source? Vayomer Shimshon Lovav, Osa Kachli, Kihi Yishar Be'inai. Take her for me as a wife. This is a woman that Shimshon had met in Timnasa, who was a Pelishti woman, and he thought that this was Yosha Be'inai Lefichach Nikru Pelishtim Es Einav Shneem Aveyachazu Pelishtim Einakru Es Einav. Asks the Gemara, Eini V'oksiv V'aviv V'ima Lo Yodu Kimei Hashem Hu. Wait a second. The Pasuk actually goes on to say that this was Mei Hashem, that he should marry a Pelishti in order that he should fight against the Plishtim, to be an insider, to be able to defend Klal Yisrael. So what type of Avera did he do? So the Gemara explains, well, sometimes a person does an Avera even though there is providence involved with it as well. He did it not because of any sincere reason, but he did it because he was looking for the beauty, and therefore he is punished. Tanya, Rebbe Yomer, Tchilas Kekula Ba'aza, the downfall of Shimshon spiritually started in Aza, because that is where it says in the beginning of Perek Tezayin, Vayelech Shimshon Azosa Vayarsham Isha Zayna, he went to a Zayna, so that was the beginning of his spiritual downfall. Vayarsham Isha Zayna, Fichach Laka Ba'aza, ultimately, he was hurt in Aza d'chsiv v'yiridu also Azasa. Asks the Gemara, v'hoksiv v'yirid Shimshon Timnasa. Doesn't say he also went down to Timna. That's where he married the first Philistine woman. So the Gemara answers, tchilas kukula mi'aba Aza. The beginning of his downfall spiritually really took place in Aza. Continues the Gemara and expounds on Shimshon. V'hi achar kein v'yev isha benachal sorek. V'shama Delila. He fell in love with a woman whose name was Delila. Tanya, Rebbe Yomer, Imale Nikra Shma Delila, Ruya Haisa Shetikra Delila. Even if she had not been called Delila, the name Delila is really appropriate for her. The Delila, Dildala's Kochet, she weakened his strength. Dildala's Libo, she weakened his heart. Dildala's Haisav, she weakened his actions. Dildalos kocho, we expound. How do we know that she weakened his strength? With Sivayasa kocho mei love. Once she cut off his hair, his strength became weak. Dildalos liba, she weakened his heart. Echsiv vater dlila ki higid los kol liba. He told her all his heart. He weakened his heart by telling her his heart. Dildalos maisav, she caused his maisim to go down. Distal shchina minei. As a result, the shchina left him. Echsiv hu lo yada ki shas. Ki Hashem Sarmi Olav, the Shechina had left him, and that's why Shimshon ends in a tragic way. Vater Delila ki higidla es kaliba. Delila saw after she had cut the hair off that she had finally gotten it. Mina yada, how did she know? Amrav nikar divrei emes. The emes jumped out at her. Rashi explains everything now had made sense. She saw. Rashi in the second white line, on four lines from the bottom, saw that his hair was long and he didn't drink wine, and everything now had finally made sense. Amar Abaye, Amar Yoda Bobos, it says Lo Mafik Shem Shemayin Latala. Abaye gives an amazing explanation for how she knew it. Kiva the Amar Nazir Elokim Ani. He used the Shem Hashem. Amra Hashtev Ali Kushta Kamer. She would never say Nazir Elokim using the Shem Hashem if that was not true. Pasuk continues, she would constantly badger him, call Yom Taltseyu. What exactly is the word Val Taltseyu? Mean by the Taltseyu, Amar Yitzchak, Devei Rabbi Ami, Bishas Gmar, Bia Nishmatah Metachtov. That she pulled out from under him
during Bia. Period. Says the Gemara, quoting the Pasuk, in regards to what Malach had said to Eishes Manoach about her future son Shimshon. Be careful not to drink wine. And don't eat anything that's tame. Ask about Michael tame. She was eating tame before? We understand in terms of drinking wine. That's because Nazar Shimshon from her pregnancy. But what about not eating something that's tame? So what does it mean, called tame? And number two, was she eating tame the whole time? Must be those things that are prepared for a nazir, for example, grapes and so on, as Rashi explains. Continues the Gemara to darshan the pasuk that when Shimshon was attacked, he responded by taking a jawbone and killing many, pushed him with a jawbone. And then what happened was, when he complained that he was 13, davened to Hashem, the jawbone was opened up, and water came out, who evil advar tame, he desired some tame, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided the water to him through advar tame. In other words, even this miracle that happened in Shimshon's heyday was flawed, in the sense that it wasn't spiritually pure because of some tumah that had been attached to Shimshon, as described in terms of his desire to marry or even be mezaneh with plishti women. The revuah of Yaakov Avinu came down to him. As the pasuk says, "Yehi da nachash alei derech hanoi shechikvesus vayiporach vayoch." In regards to Don, it says that he will bite the horse and the rider will fall off, and that is a reference to him bringing down the house literally on the plishtim. So that was a fulfillment of Yehidon Nachash Alei Darech, and that was Vatachel Ruach on Shimshon. Am Rabbi Yitzchak Dvei Rabbi Yabmi Melam Shoyes V'Shchina Mikashkeshes Lefon of Kizuk. Pasuk says, Lefamo B'machne Don, that rang on him in Machne Don. We skip three words. Lefamo Machne Don, Rabbi Yitzchak Dvei Rabbi Yabmi Melam Shoyes V'Shchina Mikashkeshes Lefon of Kizuk. The Shchina knocked on him like a bell. Ksivach Lepamo Machne Don, Ksivach Lepamo V'Rimon. That just the language of Pamon means that it banged upon him like a bell does. Period. Bein Tzara uvein Eshtal. We learn that it appeared between Tzara and Eshtal. The Gemara has a drasha about Tzara and Eshtal. Amaravasi Tzara v'Eshtal shnei harim gedolim ayu. These refer to two mounds. Va'akron v'Shimshon v'Tachnon zeba ze. That Shimshon ground the two of them together. The Masifta Gemara quotes Sefer Yefei Toar on its translation of the Gemara in one of its footnotes that says the reason why the Gemara understood Tzara v'Eshtal as being mountains, even we know that Tzara v'Eshtal are cities. In fact, for those of you who've come to visit me in my apartment in Ramat Beit Shemesh, along the way you pass Tzara v'Eshtal. They are cities. However, along the way, from Yerushalayim to Beit Shemesh, you'll pass Tzar Veshtal on the 38 highway. However, it could be that, according to the Yefei Toar, what they are bothered by, what the Gemara is bothered by, is that this took place in Don. Yet Tzar and Eshtal are in Yehuda. Hence, the Tzar Veshtal is understood not in regards to cities, but in regards to something else. It could be that it could also be that Tzara and Eshtal were not that far from Don, and hence the Goral of Don, the Nachla of Don, hence they are put together. This Ha'ara about this Tzara and Eshtal being two cities that are quite close to Don, but at the same time over here, it does not seem to be referring to these cities because they're referred to as mountains, for those who are familiar as well to the area outside of Yerushalayim of Beit Shemesh. It doesn't seem to, Tzora and Ashdod do not seem to be two mountains, is also referred to by the Maharsha. Mirta Hashem for today's fascinating halachic topic is the sugya that emerges on Daf Tes Amud Aleph. Our halacha lemaisa application of today's daf is a fascinating one from a halacha perspective, from history, as well as hopefully we'll get to some halachos that are lemaisa that people are unaware of. The Gemara in the bottom of Tes Amud Aleph had said that David's gates were tavu ba'aretz she'areha. They were sunken into the ground because David's actions remained pure and lo shaltu sonehem b'maseim. So David's gates are still around. The Bach in Simen Tav Kuf Samch Aleph that discusses the different statements that a person is supposed to say along with the kriya, a tear that a person has to do when they see the Beis Hamikdash, Yerushalayim, and Arei Yehuda, the first time in the Charbana. Well, hopefully we'll discuss those details shortly. The Bach says that he adds something else based on our Gemara. Ukishirova Sharei Rachamim Shehem Bekosel Ma'aravi Hu Akosa Sherbana David HaMelech Alav HaShalom. The Bach says that the Kotel was built by Shlomo HaMelech. Tzarech Lomar Pasuk Zeh. You have to quote that Pasuk in Eicha from today's Daf. Tavu ba'aretz she'areha. And the Bach continues on to quote the entire pasuk. Tavu ba'aretz she'areha. Ibad v'shibeh b'richeha. Malka v'soreha v'agoyim. Ein teira gam nevi'yeh loy matzach hazoin. Mei Hashem. This is a very interesting Bach. It's the application of our Gemara. As far as I am aware, it is not found in most contemporary poskim in regards to the halachos that we have of seeing Yerushalayim and the Mikdash b'Churbaneha. The basic halachos are the following. In Simen Tavkuf Samach Aleph Siv Beis, there is a halacha that emerges from the Gemara in Mayed Katan that say that if someone sees Yerushalayim b'Churbana, then he has to tear. And he says, Siyam b'midbar ha'isa Yerushalayim shemame v'korea, and he tears a kriya on the base of Migdash, and this should be memorized, particularly those people who are sitting to Yerushalayim, and they tear when they see the Makom HaMikdash. Beforehand, what says, Beis kachem sifertenu ha'sheluchu ha'vesenu ha'yu l'sreifa as'esh v'chol machmadenu ha'yu l'cherpa, and there is a requirement of kriya. There is a discussion in the Shulchan Aruch that if one sees Yerushalayim first and then the Beis HaMikdash, in such a case, there's a need for two kriyas. One of my Rabbeim, Rav Shechter, in Simin Yudches, in the Sefer Bikvei Hatzon, quotes that this might be the reason why the Chazon Ish and other Gedolei Torah, when they entered into Yerushalayim, attempted to enter in a manner where they saw both the Makom HaMikdash. When we say Yerushalayim, we don't mean the modern city of Jerusalem, but rather the halachic city of Jerusalem, what's referred to today, it's oversimplified, as the Old City, and they would enter from an area above, and then see Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash at once, and thereby be able to do one kriya with saying Beis Kodshenu V'Sifar Tenu. This is how I witnessed Rav Shechter doing it. So those are the halachos of kriya if one has not seen the Beis HaMikdash or Yerushalayim in 30 days. So then there is a requirement to do this kriya. What the Bach is saying, what is absolutely fascinating from our Gemara, is that there is a special halach in regards to the Kotel, that he attributes the Kotel HaMaravi, of course, historians say it was built by Hordus. But according to the Bach, it is on this, the Kotel HaMaravi that we stand and daven by, that was where David HaMelech had planted those Sha'arim, that of course, how fascinating that the line of the Gemara, Tavu, they were sunken down, but ultimately revealed. The Rav Waldenberg, in the Tzitz Eliezer and Chelek Yud Simen Aleph, points out that there is a stira to this Bach in terms of the archaeology. The archaeology and the name.
And that is the following. The great Sefer Kaftar Eferach, which is the source for many, many poskim for halachos hatuyos ba'aretz, and for many halachos in regards to the Makom HaMikdash, the Kaftar Eferach speaks also about Ashar Rachamim, that the Bach referred to as the Kosel HaMaravi. However, what is confusing and seems to be a stira is that the Sefer Kaftar Eferach, after going in detail describing the construct of the Harabayis, says that the Shar Rachamim was on the eastern side. And then he concludes that this Shar Rachamim, which was on the eastern side, he claims was could have been built, he's Mesupak, could have been the famous Shar Chesed that was built by Shlomo HaMelech for the Avelim and Menudim as described in Maseches Sofrim. And then he concludes, the Kaftar Eferach says, in the middle of Perek Vav, V'cheini madavar boim ad osam akosolim, u'mispalim l'kel yisal lefnei elu shnei yasharim shizkarnu. He says, today, this is the wall that people come to pray in front of. So what is fascinating is the following. In the time of the Kaftar Eferach, it seems, and the Pas HaShulchan in Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, Perek Gimel, Sifkaton Chavav, is Medayek, that in those times they did not daven by the Kosel HaMaravi. Could very well be at that time was Mekuyim what the Bach had ascribed to the Kosel of Tavu Shoreha, that the Kosel was actually buried, but rather they would go to what the Kaftar Eferach describes, using the same expression, the Shar Rachamim, on the eastern side, and he attributes that to the famous gates that were built by Shlomo HaMelech that were devoted for doing chasadim for those both very happy people or, God forbid, sad people who had come to the Beis HaMikdash. It seems to be a little bit of a stira in terms of this expression of Shari Rachman. One could simply resolve the stira and say that the Bach Shari Rachman was the expression that was used for the Kotel. That's how the Kotel was described as a Shari Rachman, which it is until this very day. And the Kaftar Eferach was describing Shlomo HaMelech's binyan, which is towards the eastern side. The Tzitz Eliezer develops a beautiful idea where he points out that even though many poskim discuss, and this is a big discussion, my Rebbe Rav Nevenzahl is machmir like this, many, particularly Litvish poskim, are machmir to assume that the Kosel is a chelik of the Harabayis, and therefore not to put one's fingers inside the crevices of the Kotel. And since Eliezer says, even if you assume not that way, and he brings proofs, and some poskim who say that the Kotel itself does not have Kedushas Harabayis itself, and he quotes this in Os Yud Gimel in the name of the Ma'aril Diskin, who was of course the Rav of Yerushalayim and the Old City after he had come from Brisk. Nevertheless, of course, the Ma'aril Diskin himself valued the Kotel as the Medrash on Shir HaShirim says that the Shechina doesn't move from the Kotel. So Tzitz Eliezer suggests, if you will, there are two halachos in the Shechina. There's one halacha of the Shechina of its resting on the Har HaBayis in the Kedushas HaMakom, and there the Kotel, according to Maril Diskin and others, might not have Kedushas Har HaBayis. However, the Shechina, me'olam lozaza HaShechina, the Shechina never left the Kotel HaMaravi, and above, if you will, hovering over, even if it's not in the stones of the Kotel, is the Shechina Shelo Zaza. To the point that the Tzitz Eliezer discusses someone who had to go on top of the Harabayis many, many ages ago to do some work, and he was standing in between the Kotel and the Makom HaMikdash, and he was Mesupak which direction he should face, because the Shechina was lo zaza from the Kotel itself. Ultimately, Tzitz Eliezer quotes Radvaz that he should face the Makom HaMikdash, but this area of the Shechina is hovering above the Kotel. Says it Tzitz Eliezer, if that is so, then maybe we could resolve that the Bach and Kaftor Aserach are not arguing that when a person is facing the airspace above the Kotel, which goes directly when a person then is facing the east, because the Kotel HaMaravi is on the west, represents the western border of the Har HaBayis, and therefore when a person is facing it, he is facing the east, the shahr that stands opposite him, hundreds of feet away, is that shahr Rachamim. So he's locking in, not to the Kedushas HaAvonim, that might not have Kedushas Har HaBayis, but rather the airspace above, and in that direction of the shahr Rachamim. So that is the Sittli as his reconciliation. One could say that it is a machlokis, or two different uses of the expression shahr Rachamim, but at the end of the day, we see a fascinating halacha lemaisa application to the expression of our Gemara, applying the pasuk of Tavu Ba'aretz Shareh as a positive thing, that even though the pasuk describes the destruction of the Makom HaMikdash, but it could very well be it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu was hiding the Kotel to reveal it again, so that we would be able to tap in to that Kedushas HaShechina, and therefore, according to the Bach, a person should say that pasuk if he hasn't seen the Kotel Maravi a long time, Tavu Ba'aretz Shareh, as well as we learned that there is no chiyuv of kriya on the Kotel. This is something that Rav Nevensal emphasizes, and that even the Bach would agree there's no chiyuv of kriya on the Kotel. However, if a person has not seen Yerushalayim or the Har HaBayis within 30 days, then in such a case there would be a chiyuv for them to do kriya. The approach, it seems from the Chazon Ish, was to see both simultaneously, and this pasuk is not only a Bach, this is halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that a person should say, Beis kodshenu v'sifartenu, hasher lucha avoysenu hoya l'sreif atesh, v'chol machmadenu hoya l'charba. Our Rebbe Rav Nevensal adds something fascinating on in his B'Yitzchak Yikari on the Shulchan Aruch in Tavkuf Samach Aleph, as well as it's quoted in Rav Chizkio, his dear son, Dishan Yushalayim Madam Beina Mitzarim, that from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that, or at least based on Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that if someone was able to come to Yushalayim and to see the Makom HaMikdash within 30 days, in such a case, if he did not, then even if he comes after 30 days, he does not tear, because the fact that he didn't come when he was able to come is indicative that, unfortunately, he doesn't have that sense of avelus. What a powerful lesson. Rav Nevensal says that over with such simplicity and so obvious that, of course, if a person was drawn, as Rav Nevensal is, to these Mekomos HaKdoshim, then, of course, he would make it his effort to be there. Finally, we had mentioned the Maril Diskin and his position about the Kotel and the Tzitz Eliezer's Ha'ara, that, of course, the Maril Diskin would believe that the Kotel and its airspace has this idea of Lo Zaza Shechina. For sure the Maril Diskin was masking for this based on an amazing story. They say that the Maril Diskin originally had an apartment that was overlooking the Kotel area, but he couldn't bring himself to look at that area because of the tremendous tsar that he would get when see the Makom HaMikdash full of Shualim Hochuvo. And the Maril Diskin requested that a shade be brought so he would not be able to see the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. They say that one day someone was not aware and he raised the shade. Maril Diskin looked up from his learning, he saw the Makom HaMikdash, and he fainted. That was how deep the sense of the loss of the Makom HaMikdash. That Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us be Misa'abel v'Yerushalayim Karoi, and one day we'll be Zocha v'Roeh b'Vinyanah.